वेदांत स्वामी जगत गुरु शिला प्रभुपाद की ग्रंथ राज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज हरे कृष्णा ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज हरे कृष्णा ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज हरे कृष्णा ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज द ब्यूटीफुल लोटस फीट ऑफ श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरांग ऑल ग्लोरीज प्रभुपाद नमो ओम विष्णु पादाय कृष्ण श्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते श्रीमपद स्वामी की नाम ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं तोजायत मुदीरये। टुडे वी रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 10 टेक्स्ट 23 And the chapter is entitled Departure of Lord Krishna for Dwarka. Oh, I can take this off, right? Thank you. Thank you, Krishna. Hare Krishna. So text 23. Sava ayam yat padam atra surayo. Ayam yat padam atra surayo. Jitendriya nirjita matar shivana. Jitendriya nirjita matar shivana. Pashyanti bhakti utkalita mala atmana. Shanti bhakti utkaliya mala atmana. Nanvesha satvam parimarshatum arhati. Evan satvam parimarshatum arhati. Savayam yat padamatra surayo. Yam yat padamatra surayo. Jitendriya nirjita matarishvana. Jitendriya nirjita matarishvana. Pashyanti bhakti utkalita mala atmana. Pashyanti bhakti utkalita mala atmana. Nanvesha satvam parimarshum arhati. Arhati. Please chant. Savayam yat padamatra surayo. Jitendri. Oh, sorry. Jitendriya nirjita matarishvana. Pashyanti bhakti utkalita mala atmana. Word for word, sa, he, by providence, ayam, this, yat, that which, padamatra, here is the same personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, surayo, great devotees, jita indriya, who have overcome the influence of the senses. Nirjita, thoroughly controlled. Matarishvana, life. Pashyanti, can see. Bhakti, by dint of devotional service. Utkalita, developed. Amala Atmana, those whose minds are thoroughly cleansed. Nanu Esha, certainly by this only. Satvam, existence. Parimarshtum, for purifying the mind completely. Arhati, deserve. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Jagatguru Srila Prabhupada ki jai ho. Translation. Here is the same Supreme Personality of Godhead whose transcendental form is experienced by the great devotees who are completely cleansed of material consciousness by dint of rigid devotional service and full control of life and the senses. And that is the only way to purify existence. Can we read it together, please? Translation. Here is the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose transcendental form is experienced by the great devotees who are completely cleansed of material consciousness by dint of rigid devotional service and full control of life in the senses. And that is the only way to purify existence. Who's speaking at this time? Anybody remember? Who's saying these beautiful words about bhakti?
The ladies.
The ladies? Which ladies? The ladies of Hastinapur, yes. Yes, the ladies of Hastinapur, and they're on the rooftop actually. And they're saying this. Purport. As it is stated in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord can be known in His real nature by dint of pure devotional service only. So it is stated here that only the great devotees of the Lord who are able to clear the mind of all material dust by rigid devotional service can experience the Lord as He is. The term is rigid, rigid devotional service. Jitendriya means one who has full control over the senses. The senses are active parts of the body and their activities cannot be stopped. The artificial means of the yogic processes to make the senses inactive has proved to be abject failure, even in the case of great yogis like Vishwamitra Muni. Vishwamitra Muni controlled the senses by yogic trance, but when he happened to meet Menaka, a heavenly society woman, he became a victim of sex, and the artificial way of controlling the senses failed. But in the case of a pure devotee, the senses are not at all artificially stopped from doing anything, but they are given different good engagements. When the senses are engaged in more attractive activities, there is no chance of their being attracted by any inferior engagements. Another Bhagavad Gita verse. A lot of Bhagavad Gita verses are not, they are not quoted, but they are mentioned, and we have to kind of figure out which verse is this. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that the senses can be controlled only by better engagements. Devotional service necessitates purifying the senses or engaging them in the activities of devotional service. Devotional service is not inaction. Anything done in the service of the Lord becomes at once purified of its material nature. The material conception is due to ignorance only. There is nothing beyond Vasudev. The Vasudev conception gradually develops in the heart of the learned after a prolonged acceleration of the receptive organs. But the process ends in the knowledge of accepting Vasudev as all in all. In the case of devotional service, this very same method is accepted from the very beginning, and by the grace of the Lord, all factual knowledge becomes revealed in the heart of a devotee due to dictation by the Lord from within. Therefore, controlling the senses by devotional service is the only and easiest means. Only and easiest means. Chai. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Hare Krishna, dear devotees, thank you very much for being here and being online. Thank you. So this is, as Mother Madhumati guest, of course she's here every day. Thank you, Mother Madhumati, for being here for the class every day. This is the ladies of Hastinapur who are speaking these beautiful verses, and there are actually 10 verses which in which they speak about the Lord, glorify the Lord, and it's this verse which we are reading today is the third of the 10th of those 10 verses as Krishna is leaving Hastinapur to go to Dwarka. And as you see, it's very philosophical, and but the whole mood, as you have been hearing the past few days, the mood is of viraha bhav, mood of separation. The devotees, the all of the residents in Hastinapur are feeling great separation because the Lord is about to leave. And actually the Lord has been in Hastinapur for many, many, many months. And so, as we know that Krishna came to Hastinapur first to kind of try to stop the battle of Kurukshetra, right? Stop the big war. And he was speaking on behalf of the Pandavas, he went to the Kauravas and said, okay, let's not do this war. And all of the things which were tried didn't work. So finally, the Kurukshetra battle happened. Krishna stayed. The battle is finished. And then the funeral rites were performed for all of the people who were dead. And then Yudhishthira was installed on the throne. And then Krishna was ready to leave for Dwarka. And then three different things happened. At least three different interludes happened. And the very first one was, can anybody in our audience here, can you remember what was the first interlude as Krishna was about going to leave and then something happened? Yes, thank you, Mother. Uttara came running to Krishna because Ashwatthama had sent the Brahmastra, the atomic weapon, and Krishna, please protect my womb. Protect the embryo in the womb because he is the last inheritor of this dynasty and I don't care for myself, but please protect this baby. And thus Krishna did. And then next was, as he was leaving, Kunti Devi comes. And then she says these beautiful, beautiful prayers, and Krishna was so merciful. He heard them. He was smiling. And Krishna, of course, Kunti Devi is saying, please do not leave. And actually, as I was just preparing for this class, I was remembering how when I was growing up, we used to always, whenever any relatives came to our house, we would hide their shoes. You know, we would hide their shoes thinking they will not leave because we hid their shoes. And that was the mood. I mean, it was not that, especially my grandmother, when she would come, we would want to hide her shoes. And then they would know we hid them. But it was always a game we played. And it was always, sometimes they would actually stay longer. They would actually stay a few hours or a few days even. And you see, so this is something which is, of course, coming from the spiritual world. The devotees do not want to be separated from Krishna. I don't know anything about that, but we were just always doing that, hiding people's shoes. And then we have Yudhishthira Maharaj. He doesn't want Krishna to leave, and he actually really begs Krishna to stay longer. And Yudhishthira Maharaj was actually feeling very, very distraught after the battle of Kurukshetra because so many, how many millions did we talk about? 641 million, I think that's what I remember from my last class. 640 million men had died in that war, and he was feeling, because of me, so that I can be installed on the throne. And then Krishna is pacifying him, and finally, as we all heard in the past few weeks, many, many weeks, that Bhishma Dev then pacifies him. And now finally, Yudhishthira Maharaj is installed on the throne and he is ruling the kingdom. And so Krishna is leaving, and a great sorrow has descended upon the residents of Hastinapur, and because they are so attached to Krishna, as so attachment is there to Krishna. And so many different exchanges have been described as this chapter unfolds. So Krishna is interacting with all of the ladies in the palace and all of the Pandavas, how he interacts with the younger, those who are younger to him, those who are at the same age, so those who are older to him, how he's interacting as he's leaving. And also all of the wives, many of the wives of the deceased warriors, their children, he's interacting with them as well. And the ladies of Hastinapur, they don't want to cry because it's a very auspicious occasion. And it is actually said that if you cry, it becomes inauspicious. So they wanted to, they're kind of hiding, and so they went to the roof. On the rooftops, all over on the rooftops. And we see the mood is the Brahmanas are chanting the mantras, the musicians are singing, and because of respect for Krishna, they go on the rooftops and they just start talking. And the first verse, which was, I think, verse 19, I think it was, or verse 20, in which Sukadeva Goswami actually says that these talks of the queens was, oh, no, I'm sorry, not the queens, the ladies of Hastinapur, was more pleasing than the Vedic hymns. And the reason given is that sometimes the Vedic hymns are indirect, you know. They don't glorify Krishna directly. But the ladies were actually glorifying Krishna directly, and that was much more pleasing to the Lord as this was happening, and as the ladies were talking. And So I want to first, one thing I want to say is, okay, actually I listened to a couple of classes given on this verse. One was by my Guru Maharaj, Srila Rupa Swami, and one was by a devotee, Amman Maharaj, I don't remember his name, but from ISKCON Desire Tree. So one of the things which was mentioned was that, what he said, which was interesting, which I didn't really, have not really thought of or heard it before actually, that you know, there is all this fanfare of Krishna leaving, there is a lot of excitement going on, people are feeling sad, but there's a lot of excitement. From verse 8 through 18, we see all the fanfare, and then suddenly, there's a speech of the lady saying how Krishna is the source of everything, in him everything resides. So what this Maharaj was saying was that Sukadeva Goswami actually interjects, there is pastimes going on, and he blends pastimes with philosophy. So that to keep Parikshit Maharaj's attention. You know, Parikshit Maharaj has been sitting, he's sitting for like 7 days, he's sitting there, and to keep his attention, he interjects some philosophy with the pastime to kind of break the, so it's not just, you know, just a lot of philosophy. And so I thought that was interesting. So yeah, this is a lot of heavy philosophy which the ladies are speaking about. And actually another thing which we have heard is that these ladies are not very, they're not Vedic scholars, they won't be considered advanced devotees. However, they've heard about Krishna. They've heard about Krishna from different sources, but one of the source could be, you know, the three women in Hastinapur, in the palace, Kunti Devi, Kunti Devi and Draupadi. Draupadi is there, and when they are talking about Krishna, because they've had direct interaction with Krishna, they are telling other people about Krishna, and then the ladies, other ladies hear about it. So it's very, 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 just by hearing, they've actually got so much love for Krishna, and actually it's said that they're seeing Krishna for the very first time. And another thing which I wanted to share was, I've been reading Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Actually this COVID has been very good for me, in the sense that I've been reading a lot with other devotees on Zoom or conference calls, and currently we are on the third volume of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So I wanted to just share, this is in part 5 or chapter 5 I think it's called, of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita volume 3, it's text 202. The verse is actually about the ladies. The ladies of the capital of King Yudhishthira spoke the same way among themselves while watching the very same personality of Godhead leave for his own capital. And in the commentary, Srila Sridhar Swami is explaining that the prayers of the ladies in Hastinapur attracted the attention of all the Vedas. And thus the personified Upanishads congratulated those ladies. Because the ladies belong to the capital of Sri Yudhishthira, the Kaurava king, it is implied that by their connection with him, they certainly could have spoken such realizations. So Yudhishthira Maharaj is another source of that, because he has got such interactions with the Lord, and it kind of translates, you know, the people in the city are hearing about it. What's more, the women of Hastinapur expressed those realizations at a moment of painful crisis for them, when Krishna was leaving the Kaurava capital for his own city, Dwarka. Krishna's influence is so wonderful that even while Krishna was abandoning them, they could glorify their rivals in Dwarka and Vrindavan. And we will see as their talks go along, further down, they're actually glorifying the gopis, they're glorifying the queens of Krishna. So, yeah, so that is, this is from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Another thing which I find remarkable is that these ladies are actually speaking from the rooftops. They're at and all over the city, and Krishna is actually, they are actually greeting the Lord, as it is said. They are greeting the Lord. And in verse 31 of this chapter, just a little bit going ahead, I wanted to bring it up that Krishna actually is hearing all that. Of course, Krishna is the super soul in everybody's heart. But the verse, Shukadeva Goswami says, while the ladies of the capital were greeting him and talking in this way, the Lord smiling, accepted their good greetings, and casting the grace of his glance over them, he departed from the city. So Krishna is actually hearing all of these talks which the ladies are doing, and he actually looks at them. And just there, can you imagine Krishna looking at you? You are in a big crowd and Krishna is looking at you, and you all feel so satisfied. And when I read that verse, I was reminded of Srila Prabhupada's memory videos which we have watched over the years, and devotees, Prabhupada disciples, talking about Srila Prabhupada and saying, just Srila Prabhupada looked at me, and just that look, his glance, I am carrying it for the last 40, 50 years. Because it just stayed with them, because they felt Prabhupada is actually looking directly in their heart, and they felt so connected to Srila Prabhupada. So a glance of a pure devotee is so powerful, and Krishna's glance, what can we say about that, huh? Beautiful glance of Krishna. It's like achintya. All I can think is achintya. So today's verse is, as I said, many references to the Bhagavad Gita verses. So we can, it's actually like the Srimad Bhagavatam version of the Bhagavad Gita message. That's how I felt when I was reading the verses, when I was reading the purport and also the verse itself. So one of the very first verse which I was reminded of was Bhaktya mama bijanati yavanyas chashmi tatvataha tato mam tatvato gyatva vishate tadanantaram. So this is chapter 18, verse 55. So this is the end of Bhagavad Gita. One can understand the Supreme Personality as He is only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of the Supreme Lord by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. So Prabhupada is actually kind of speaking about all of the, because the verse is totally about bhakti, and Prabhupada in the purport is talking about these Bhagavad Gita verses. And in the purport, Prabhupada says that Krishna and his plenary portions cannot be understood by mental speculation, nor by the non-devotees. If anyone wants to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he has to take to pure devotional service. And the very important thing is under the guidance of a pure devotee. Because of that devotee's pure devotional service, one can understand the qualities and opulences of the Supreme Lord in truth. So, devotional service, only by devotional service actually we can understand Krishna's true eternal form, and that's how we can see Krishna. And then we can have love. Love can generate in our heart because we are associating with the pure devotees, we are associating with the words of the pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada. And the verse says that devotees who are completely cleansed of material consciousness, we associate with those devotees, and those devotees are actually qualified to see the Lord. That means one thing we always hear, that cleansing of material consciousness happens when we are cleansed of material desires. Our material desires are not there anymore. However, another thing which I read in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita recently, which I want to bring up here, is Bhakti Yoga in all its phases of practice and achievement is always decorated with the ornament of indifference to material desires. So we cannot get rid of material desires, but we can become indifferent to them. So then, because the material desires are like waves in the ocean, they are always coming and going. And we cannot say, I want to just pull them out and that's just, they won't be there anymore. So we have to cultivate indifference. And that is the ornament. When I read that, it was so sweet. It's a commentary from verse 221 in this chapter 5 of part 3 of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Bhakti Yoga, in all of its phases of practice and achievement, is always decorated with the ornament of indifference to material desires. So when we become indifferent, that's when we become cleansed of material consciousness and cleansed of desire of fulfillment of those material sense gratification. And also another point which was made in the class which I was listening was that also we get cleansed of spiritual sense gratification. So what would we think, what would be spiritual sense gratification which you would want to get rid of? Anybody would like to say? As we have spiritual sense gratification, because we don't only want to have rid of material sense gratification, Even spiritual, there is spiritual sense gratification. What would that be? That would be one, prestige, adoration. Anything else we can think of?
Enjoying
offering prasad.
What is
I don't know if that is...
Spiritual sense gratification.
That is, maybe it's nothing is wrong with trying to enjoy a nice prasadam. One other thing which I came across was that thinking about liberation. That, you know, I can become liberated, or you can... there is one word called Sukhi Vasna Gandha Shunya. Even the Gandha, even the smell or fragrance of liberation has to become zero. That I want to become totally, don't want to have anything. All I want, all my only desire is to please Krishna. So no other desire is there other than to please Krishna. So as we are going along doing our daily service, daily activities, sadhana, the desire is to please Krishna, nothing else. That is actually the totally cleansed of all of the desires which we have, cleansed of all of the, what's the verse say? Cleansed of material consciousness. Because as we are practicing our spiritual, our devotional life, as we are practicing our, doing our daily practice, doing our sadhana, that mood has to be, it's actually a cultivation of that mood. How can Krishna be pleased? Because when we are chanting, when we are chanting our japa, at least I know for myself, I'm thinking of the 16 rounds, right? 16 rounds will be over and I'm going to go to the next thing. Huh? But is this pleasing Krishna? What I'm doing, is it pleasing Krishna? Is it pleasing my spiritual master? That is the mood. And I actually remember when I was when I saw this, when I was kind of preparing, I was thinking of pleasing Krishna mood is that... you know, the very famous pastime of the gopis and that the dust of their feet. And Krishna was having a headache. And who were the different people who were approached? Many different people were approached, right? And oh, Narada Muni, yes, Narada. I remember part of the pastime. Bad Kali Yuga memory. So Narada Muni is going to different people. Krishna has a headache. He wants dust from your feet. And so many elevated people said, no way, I'll go to hell. If I give my dust to Krishna, I'll go to hell. Who was it? Brahma? Shiva? Right? All of them kind of said, no way, no way, I'm not going to give. Even the queens, yeah, even his queens, even his wives, they said no. They were very much, no, no, wow, I'm going to go to hell. I know, growing up, we would say something like, don't touch your feet to somebody because you'll go to hell if you're touching your feet to somebody. Like, don't sit with your feet towards the deities. That's very, very important. But if you even touch your foot to somebody else, you don't want to, because you will go to hell if you touch your foot to anybody. So the gopis, however, said, Krishna's headache will be relieved. Then, doesn't matter if you go to hell, we are going to give our dust. And they gave it. So that is the mood. How can I please Krishna? Doesn't matter how much affected I might be, even if I, of course, the devotee's mood is that I can live wherever I live, even as a worm in stool, as long as I can remember Krishna and serve Him. So that's the devotee's mood. And so our only desire is to please Krishna. So we'll just kind of discuss the purport a little bit in a bit more detail. So we talk about Vishwamitra Muni has been mentioned in the purport. And so, you know, Vishwamitra Muni was actually doing his meditation. He was deeply absorbed in his meditation. And why Menaka came actually was because Indra was feeling very much disturbed. He felt, oops, this Muni is really doing all these intense meditation. He might become more powerful than me and he might take my throne. Indra is always worried. Somebody might take my throne. So he sent this heavenly society girl Menaka, who was very, very beautiful supposedly. And Vishwamitra Muni was deep in meditation and just her ankle bells actually, the tinkling of her ankle bells. So even though he is in meditation, he can still hear, right? And just the hearing of the ankle bells agitated Vishwamitra Muni. And so even when the senses are controlled, the ear was still active and that's it. That was all over and Indra won. So the point Srila Prabhupada is making is that by yogic trance, we seem like we're controlling our senses, but we actually, unless we give some other engagement to the mind. Also, we know the story of Shobari Muni. He was meditating for 60,000 years under the water, and then he just saw two fishes being intimate, and he fell down. So artificially, in the purport, Prabhupada says, senses are not at all artificially stopped from doing anything, but they're given good engagements. When the senses are engaged in more attractive activities, there is no chance of their being attracted by any inferior engagements. What verse of Bhagavad Gita can we think of when Prabhupada says that? Attractive activities. It's a verse from which our book, Higher Taste, has been named. Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehina rasavarjam rasopiyasya param drishtva nivartante. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste of sense objects remains. But seizing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. So, attractive activities. Prabhupada says attractive activities. Because, you know, our minds are never shunya, and our minds are never void. You know, you can empty a water, you have a bottle of water, and you empty out the bottle, and then you would ask, so what is remaining in the water bottle? Is it empty? Is it empty? No, it's not empty because it's filled with air now. So there can never be, it can never be, nothing can be empty. Just like, you know, a child, you have a naughty child and you take away, you tell them, don't do this, don't do this. Neti, neti. But we have to give them some positive engagements. So like Srila Prabhupada, this is what he did with us. When he first came and the devotees were, the people who came to him were engaged in all of, you know, they were practicing all of the illicit activities which we are asked not to do. So instead of being, they were doing what, marijuana or whatever the drugs and all, he gave them gulab jamuns. Gulab jamuns filled up, the containers filled up gulab jamun. You enter and you just take a gulab jamun. Huh? Prabhupada would not have any restraint. Just eat as much as you want. Because now, instead of doing that, they are now taking the gulab jamuns, which are the prashadam and made by a pure devotee. How fortunate, huh? I wish I could have one gulab jamun of those. Because I've heard, like they're called ISKCON bullets, right? ISKCON bullets, yeah, they were called ISKCON bullets, the gulab jamuns which Srila Prabhupada had. So giving some other activity to our mind, so that we can fill it up with those attractive activities and then take away, like we take away a dangerous item from a child. I remember my son, when my firstborn, and when I would cook and he would always want to be with me and he always wanted to be in the kitchen, and I was afraid something would happen to him. So I opened all of our cabinets had like child safety locks. So I would open one of the cabinets and let him sit with the pot. He could take out as many pots as he wanted, give him some wooden spoons and he would bang on them. And so his thing was going on. He felt he was taking part in the activity. And we have to take away the dangerous item. So we take away the dangerous material desires, which are like snakes, right? They're like snakes. They're coming to get us. And we can replace it with the what is the sense gratification? Actually, real sense gratification. You know, we get up in the morning and we take a shower, put beautiful tilak, and then we get ready, and then we come and we see the deities. Sense gratification of the eyes, right? We hear the nice kirtan. Sense gratification of the ears. We offer incense, we smell the fragrance of the incense, the flowers, which you're not smelling right now. But sense gratification of the nose. And then we take prasadam, sense gratification of the tongue. So all of the sense gratification we can do, but in Krishna's service. And so that's the spiritual sense gratification. Like who said about the nice prasadam? We can have as very good opulent prasadam. As long as it is offered to Krishna, it is prasadam. And we are also accepting it as Krishna's mercy. So even when we accept prasadam, that's also very important, the mood of accepting prasadam. And I've heard different devotees say in the memory videos, that Srila Prabhupada would actually be, he would eat in total, he would eat quietly. He did not want to be around other people. He would just eat, and it was like it's a meditation that you're honoring the prasadam. And by doing all these different activities, you know, we are developing our ruchi for Krishna like this, by doing these kind of sense gratification, if you can say, spiritual sense gratification. But slowly and slowly, then ruchi and then nishtha will appear, and of course we will make more progress, and ultimately we come to the platform of Vasudev, which is also mentioned in this purport. There's nothing beyond Vasudev. The Vasudev conception gradually develops in the heart of the learned after a prolonged, what did he say, acceleration of the receptive organs. So I was kind of confused when I heard receptive organs. What are the receptive organs for when we are the Vasudev? What did he say, Prabhuji? Yes, the indriyas, the gyanindriyas. Yeah, when our gyanindriyas are, those are the receptive organs, and as we are receiving all of these, you know, we're receiving all these different signals as we are on in our devotional path, then we those indriyas or the gyanindriyas are actually getting all of those, and we have to keep all of those antennas up so that we can receive all of the things which we are actually listening to or hearing, I mean, or interacting with other devotees. Another verse which I came across, oh actually we talked about it yesterday, because Prabhupada says, anything done in the service of the Lord becomes at once purified of its material nature. Anything done. So I was mentioning this verse yesterday because Mother Sri Devi brought it up. About so this is a verse from the second canto 2137 that Prabhupada says, it's the duty of everyone to perform sacrifice with feasible goods to appease the Lord. And in the purport he says, human society therefore must learn to offer sacrifices not only with clarified butter but also with other manufactured goods in the propagation of the Lord's glory, and that will bring about perfection in human society. So whatever we have in with us, whatever we can say, whatever material goods we possess, we engage them in Krishna's service, whether it is something which we made ourselves or it's a manufactured good, like we talked about yesterday, whether it's the internet or the Zoom or the Google Docs, the Google Suite, whatever we have, it's actually like a butter offering in the fire of the yajna of Sankirtan, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has introduced. So we cannot get limited that only if I attend the fire sacrifice I'm actually engaging in a yajna. No, we are daily actually practicing, and daily we are actually doing this yajna. Like we have a needle, we are engaging that needle in the service, instead of, you know, many people will buy all kinds of stuff from Walmart or wherever, and they will make all kinds of what are those called, quilts. The ladies get together and they make quilts. They've got quilting parties, you know. The quilting bees. All of those needles are used. All of the thread is used. And what do the devotees do? They take the needles, they take the thread, and they make garlands for the deities. So we using those manufactured goods. And we're actually, I think we are also purifying the Walmarts, right? We are using their products, what's that? So, process ends in the knowledge of accepting Vasudev as all in all. Prabhupada says, and further up in the purport, the process ends in the knowledge of accepting Vasudev as all in all. So that's another Bhagavad Gita verse, chapter 7, verse 19. Bahunam janmanamante jnanavanmam prapadyate Vasudeva sarvamiti sa mahatma sadurlabha. So, after many, many births and deaths, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes. And of course, such a great soul is very rare. So all of you devotees who are here, who are listening, who attend, who participate, who are practicing Krishna consciousness, you are very, very rare. And you are more rare are you because you are in the Krishna consciousness movement and your mood is to serve and give this Krishna consciousness to others. So as many souls as possible, we can share Krishna consciousness, we can make more souls very, very, we can make them more fortunate as well. So in the case of, okay, what else? And this is controlling the senses by devotional service. So of course, in the devotional service, what Srila Prabhupada does? So at the end of the Prabhupada, so he's kind of talking about, you know, the yogic trance, which Vishwamitra Muni was performing, and he's talking about devotional service, and slowly, slowly, you get to the stage of Vasudev. But what does Srila Prabhupada do? He, from the very beginning, and he's still in the end of the purport, all of the knowledge which is there, Prabhupada gave right away. In the first, he said, chant Hare Krishna, eat prasadam. So he was actually, and then he said, the devotees started talking, they started meeting other people, and then the magazine was coming out, they were distributing Krishna consciousness to others. So, and then Prabhupada says, all of the factual knowledge will become revealed in the heart of a devotee due to the dictation by the Lord from within. Just like, you know, the queen, the ladies here who are actually on the rooftop, they have heard, but then they're all of these knowledge about, you know, the cosmic manifestation and everything merging into the Supreme, all of those are coming from within. Those knowledge, like, you know, it's like resonates. When you hear, and I've seen that over and over again, when we go out for book distribution and you tell people about, you're not this body. I usually start out by that because, you know, we have a nice diorama with you're not this body. And you tell them you're not this body. So what I say, who do you think? If I say you're not this body, and they're like, And then you talk to them for a few more minutes. You're wearing a red shirt today. Tomorrow you will be wearing a green shirt. So are you that shirt? No. So that resonates. And because the knowledge is already here, and actually in the verse, the word which is utkalita, utkalita means developed. So whatever knowledge is already within us, that actually just develops and comes out. And then amala atmana, we become purified. Amala means, mala means like yucky stuff, right? Mala, it's actually called night. Prabhupada is translated as night soil. Amala is pure, like amala puran, amala bhakta. So amala atmana, our minds become cleansed as, because whatever is in there in our heart, all of the things are already in within us, but it develops or it becomes cleared up. Like, you know, if you go and mine a diamond, the diamond doesn't look very pretty at all. It has to be, because millennia of stuff has gone on it, dirt, minerals, other things have gone over it, and when it is cleaned, that's when it sparkles. So it shines naturally. So that way, when we come to Krishna consciousness, our interest in nature actually gets revealed, and we, of course, more and more want to, we are engaged in material contamination, we have material contamination, but the spark is there, and as we clean like Cheto Darpan Marjanam, we keep cleaning, and we chant the holy name. That's the cleansing process, right? I actually call it, when I talk to the people, we give them a book, we tell them about you're not this body, and then we tell them, and so what's the process of getting your, this is just knowledge. I would say, this is the knowledge that you're not this body. Now you can repeat it 100 times, 500 times, but to get it realized knowledge, you have to do a meditation, you have to actually engage in the process. And what's the process? That's when we give them the holy name. So now the holy name, because it's the holy name which is actually the way to cleanse the heart. And Prabhupada says, the rigid devotional service, is it also in the verse? Rigid devotional service, yes, rigid devotional service. Something which is, we have taken it up and we strive for pure devotion. So we cannot become kind of careless or negligent. We can be negligent to the desires of material desires, but not negligent to our daily sadhana. And actually, I think, I'm not sure when we were talking about it, that every time, like, you know, now the new year is coming. What did I do the previous year? How have I made any progress? Or what did I do yesterday? And how am I making progress today? So every day is a new day to come towards Uttama Bhakti, to come towards pure devotional service. Because, you know, like a piece of spark is in the fire, and It's shining and glowing. And when it gets away from the fire, it will be glowing for a little bit and then it'll just go away. It will just die out. It's just a piece of carbon. But we want to have that carbon glowing all the time. So we want to be in association with that purity of devotional service, so that we can awaken our love for Krishna. And the three words which are mentioned here, Jitendriya, which means we have to be, all our indriyas are controlled, overcome the influence of the senses, Nirjita, we have to be thoroughly controlled, our senses, and Amala Atmana, our purified soul, or that way our life is fully dedicated to Krishna. So, yeah, so I think we will close now. Just, is there one more point I have? Or anyway, there was another verse which I was thinking of was, as we are practicing devotional service, knowledge and detachment arises, which is what we were talking about, the ladies of Hastinapur. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayati Ashu Vairagyam Jnanam Cha Yad Ehotukam. So, by dint of devotional service, we free ourselves from ignorance, from material contamination, from material conception, and thus knowledge awakens from the heart. That knowledge, it is already there. You don't have to go anywhere. Actually, Srila Prabhupada has said it many times. I'm not giving anything new. I'm just coming to remind you of what you have forgotten. We already know it, but we are covered over by ignorance. So, by realized knowledge, by the process of devotional service, we realize it. Jnana and Vairagya, we get Jnana and we get Vairagya, detachment. And I know my spiritual master, I remember when very first time I had a darshan with him, he was talking about, he showed like a scale. As you're becoming more attached to Krishna, you're getting detached from Maya. So attachment to Krishna, detachment from Maya. So that's the, you have to remember of that the scale, how much attachment I have to Krishna. So I can get, I don't have to artificially detach from Maya, it will automatically happen. So all of these things, cleansing of material consciousness, will happen automatically as our attachment to Krishna grows and grows. So my dear devotees, thank you very much for your kind attention. And I'll read the verse again so that we can come to this conclusion to purify our existence, just become more attached to Krishna. That's all we want. Here is the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose transcendental form is experienced by the great devotees who are completely cleansed of material consciousness by dint of rigid devotional service and full control of life and the senses. And that is the only way to purify our existence. Do you have any questions? Hare Krishna. Descriptions of the needed qualifications confirms I am a long way from home. Somebody said that. I'm not sure what you mean. Description of the needed qualifications confirms I am a long way from home. So anybody else would like to say anything? Hare Krishna. Jai. All goes Prabhupada. Bhagavatam ki jai.